Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
We're going to talk some college basketball. Tis the season. We're only 2.5 or so weeks away from Selection Sunday. To help us talk about college basketball, but also his journey in college basketball, both as a player and now as an author, as a coach, and now as an author, is Matt Doherty, who is a former North Carolina Tar Heels head coach. He joins us here on Tiki and Tierney. Matt, how you doing? Welcome to the show.
Oh, man, Tiki, it's great to be on the show with you, ACC brethren.
That's right.
And New York Giants star. I grew up a Giant fan on Long Island, and my dad took me games at Yankee Stadium and then the Meadowlands. So, yeah, it's really cool to be on with you. Thank you.
Hey, my pleasure. Matt, how did you end up in North Carolina from up this way? I mean, it's universal now. You go anywhere. You can be in California and you end up in Alabama or something. But back then, how did you end up all the way down in North Carolina?
Yeah, Coach Smith had recruited in New York a lot. It started with Frank McGuire in the 50s. Frank McGuire coached the 57 national championship team at North Carolina, and the starting five was from New York City. So ever since then, Coach Smith continued to recruit him because Coach Smith was an assistant, ended up being an assistant for Frank McGuire, and just kept it going. We had Jimmy Black was our point guard. He was from the Bronx. Michael Korn was from Jersey City. Mitch Kupchak, who's the GM of the Hornets, was from Long Island. Kenny Smith was from New York City. Chris Bruss was a teammate of mine from Long Island. He tapped into New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania very hard.
Yeah, no, I mean, you find out there's some pretty good basketball players up this way. At least there used to be. I don't know if it's still as fertile of a ground as it was back then. I mean, we're talking to Matt Doherty, who is a former head coach of the North Carolina Tar Heels. And you just wrote a new book. Before we start digging into what's happening to the ACC now, Duke and North Carolina, even Virginia's lost a couple games. Virginia Tech is soaring up the rankings right now. But I want to hit this book real quick, because I think I kind of knew a little bit of the story, but not as much as I think I should know, or at least you want people to know. So in your book, you detail your stint, obviously, as a player there in national championship, a team that you were on with Worthy and Jordan, those guys. But also it delves into your journey as a head coach and how that all came about. And then most importantly, Matt, how it ended. What went so wrong for you at North Carolina? Because from the sounds of it, it was like you were shunned down there.
Yeah, it was very painful. And the book is called Rebound, From Pain to Passion, and it's about leadership lessons learned. It'll be released March 3rd. People are pre-ordering it on Amazon. We've already had to do a second print, so it's gone very well. We're excited. And the reason I wrote it, I got into the leadership space a year and a half ago. I started doing corporate talks, executive coaching. I'm now a Vistage chair, which is the oldest and largest executive coaching organization in the world. And when I did some corporate talks, people say, "Hey, do you have a book?" And I'm like, "No, I don't have a book." I don't have a book. And they're like,
"You need some collateral to give out."
Yeah, exactly. And it gives you credibility whether they read the book or not, right?
It's true. It's very true.
So I've always had the makings of a book since I got run out of town in 2003. I was a head coach at Notre Dame for 1 year. That was my first coaching job. Mm-hmm. I was an assistant for Roy Williams at Kansas for 7 years. Got the Notre Dame job. And then Bill Guthridge, retired, but retired in June and had been there 3 years. And Roy Williams turned it down. and Coach Williams came calling for me. And then he had Michael Jordan call me. Coach Smith was a good recruiter now. And I ended up taking the job. I felt like I had to have some, clarification. Would it be my program? Can I bring my assistants? And set expectations that my first year we'd be good, my second year we wouldn't, my third year we'd be rebuilding. And I got responses that made me feel I could take the job. And I got the job in July, and those that know college basketball, July is the recruiting period. It's not an ideal time to take a job.
Yeah.
Most coaches
you're
get
way
jobs
behind.
But we also, in leadership, and you see this with, presidents, they take over and they talk about the first 100 days on a job because your reputation is going to be formed in those first 90 to 100 days. And when I took over, I brought my staff with me. People didn't like that. Even though I checked it with the AD, people didn't like the quick, abrupt change in staff, culture. I was a little younger, more aggressive. I felt like we needed more intensity in the program.
Mm-hmm.
And we won. We won. We were ranked number one in the country. We won 18 games in a row, tied for the ACC regular season title. And then the next year we lost. And then there were rumblings. And, Coach Smith and Coach Guthridge had offices in the building. And so in corporate America, that doesn't happen, right?
No.
So I didn't manage that well. And so after I got let go, Tiki, and you value education, you got academic scholarship to Virginia. What do you do after you lose a football game? What does the coach do? What do you do as a player?
Yeah, you go
film.
You go watch the film, figure out how you can do it better and not let the mistakes happen again.
Exactly. So that's what I did. I went on a leadership journey. I went to Wharton. I went to Darden School in Charlottesville. I worked with an executive coach there named Carol Weber and Jack. They taught at the Darden School. And as I'm taking these classes, I'm like, oh, my gosh. If I would have taken these classes before I was a head coach, I might still be the head coach because they're teaching you things like emotional intelligence, which I had no idea what emotional intelligence was until in 2003. And the thing that in sports especially, but in academia, leadership is the most important topic that's not formally taught.
Yeah. Yeah, it's almost like you got to learn it by fire, right? You got to learn it
right.
by doing or being mentored or being on the right staff with someone who's a great leader or coach, et cetera, or having played under a great mentor or coach like that. Like you almost have to learn it real time as opposed to being taught it. Nowadays, they're teaching it, correct?
Right. They're teaching it more. And that's why I got into this business of executive coaching, because leadership is a learned behavior. When we grew up or I grew up, people say, oh, he's a born leader. And then you think, well, you're either born leader or you're not. But then, when I got run out of town and they questioned my leadership in a public manner, and I went on this leadership journey, and I remember sitting in a class talking about emotional intelligence. And in this book, Primal Leadership, The Art of Emotional Intelligence, the author said leadership is a learned behavior.
Yeah.
And that gave me hope that I could get better.
Yeah.
And so I want my team now – our CEOs, I don't have a basketball team to coach, but I'm coaching CEOs and helping them get better and, improve their weaknesses and watch them grow and develop. And it's just as fulfilling as, watching a guy improve his jump shot.
Yeah, no, it sounds like it. The book is Rebounds by Matt Doherty, who joins us here on Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio. Matt, let's jump over to the conference right now, our conference, which is it was in trouble early. Duke is playing a little bit better of late. North Carolina is as well. They had a big win over Louisville. We can blame the pandemic a lot, the lack of practicing, a lack of these shutdowns that have happened. But, when we see really great coaches like Coach K struggle early in this season, does that start to make you scratch your head that the business of the game, business of winning in college, especially the AD, has changed significantly over the years?
Yeah, well, it's always been a function of talent. I think that's one thing that people tend to forget, mm-hmm. right? You know, Coach K is a great coach, but he's also had great players, you know, and you know, how good a coach would he be if he was coaching at Boston College,
mm-hmm.
you know? Same thing with Roy Williams. You know, you have to – Coach Smith used to say, I can draw up a play to get the ball to the block, and then recruiting takes over.
That's a good one, right? Are you physically better than the guy that's guarding you? The answer is yes.
Right.
We score a bucket.
Yeah.
If no, then you know what? Maybe you get a turnover.
Yeah, when they run, you know, power sweep and they pitch it to number 21, you know, on the Giants, and you know, you turn it into a touchdown. Maybe the backup doesn't do that, or you get hurt, and all of a sudden the team's not as good.
Yeah.
So, you know, it does take talent.
Yeah.
And now you combine talent with great coaching, that's when you have dynasties like they have at Duke, like Coach Williams had at Kansas and North Carolina, Dean Smith, you know, Terry Holland at Virginia. You know, I mean, he was a better coach than Ralph Sampson.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, it takes talent. But, you know, the bottom line is Duke doesn't have great talent.
Yeah. And they're young. And it's consistently becoming younger, right?
Yeah, they've been relying on the one-and-dones. And then every one-and-done class, every number one prospect, just like in the NFL draft, just like in the NBA draft, you know, the number one pick is Zion Williamson. Well, the next year, the number one pick is not as good as Zion Williamson. Just because you're the number one pick doesn't mean you are equal to the previous number one pick.
Yeah.
So the number one pick in high school basketball, the number one recruiting class in high school basketball, doesn't mean they're as good as Zion Williamson, Cam Reddish, and RJ Barrett.
Yeah, no, you're right, and that's where the disconnect happens. I think people think that it's congruent year over year, and it's really not. We're talking to Matt Doherty, former North Carolina Tar Heels head coach, also the author of a new book called Rebound, and you should check it out. In leadership, not just as an athlete and as a coach, but also as a CEO and really as an individual. Matt, there was a situation that happened at Duke, interestingly, where Jalen Johnson just basically said, "I'm out. I'm done." Now, you haven't coached. It's been over a decade now, right? Almost a decade and a half.
Well,
it's the last time you coached. Just a decade. How would you handle that type of situation? Because Coach K, I think he has to stand behind him and say, "Yeah, good for the kid. You know, good job." But I mean, he's essentially quitting on his team. How should that be handled?
Man, publicly, you've got to say the right thing. I probably wouldn't have gone as overboard as Coach K would have. I would have just said, you know, we're disappointed that he and his parents have made this decision, and we wish him luck, and then move on. You know, he'll always be welcome back here. He's always a part of the program.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I've got a team to coach,
yeah.
And you're either, you know, on the train or you're not. And so it's kind of ironic, I think, that maybe it's not ironic, they've played better since he has left the team, because there had to be, listen, body language is 50% of communication, right? I mean,
mm-hmm.
that's one of those things that I've learned. You know, after I got out of coaching at North Carolina, and his body language had to be telling to the people around him for, you know, a week before, 2 weeks before. I mean, that wasn't a decision he made, you know, one day.
Yeah.
So you feel it, and energy is contagious. The most important thing a player, and I'd love your opinion, the most important thing a player can bring to the field, the court, the locker room is energy.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Right?
John Gruden used to say this to my brother. He's like, we need genuine enthusiasm. If you don't got it, fake it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
fake it till you make it.
Fake it till you make it.
And that's like Donnie Walsh, who's a longtime NBA GM. He and I've talked about that. That was he said to me. And you look at Jack Welch, who's the famous CEO who mm-hmm. passed away from GE.
Yep.
He talks about the four E's, and the first one is energy.
Yeah.
Do you bring energy to the workplace?
Yeah. No, you have to do it. Matt, I wish we had more time to chat because it's a fun conversation, but I definitely encourage all of our listeners out there, and I'm going to do this myself, pick up your new book. It's called Rebound, and it sounds really, really interesting, and I appreciate your insights. Because leadership is really the most important thing that you can display as a coach, as a husband, CEO, whatever it may be. We appreciate you, Matt. Good luck to you.
Hey, it's a pleasure to be on, Tiki. Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.